are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
This week, we're diving into our fourth week in Advent, and this is the title is Love That Lifts Its Hands. This is a Christmas response. What does it look like to respond during this Advent season? Not to just get smarter, not to just get some information or learn some fancy Hebrew words, but actually do something with what God continues to give us. And so for those of you who kind of are in a traditional Advent world, we celebrated this last weekend. My kids are going to go to Boise. My Pullman kids are going to go to Boise. So we celebrated Christmas yesterday, and we illegally lit the fourth candle a day ahead of schedule. But it's okay. And that fourth candle a lot of times represents love. And so as we think about this Advent time today in our word, we're going to talk about love, not romantic love. Not super or sentimental love or superficial love, not the warm, fuzzy feeling type of love, but the kind of love that actually requires a response. Love that moves something. Love that speaks. Love that shows up physically. And that's what's cool about Advent is it doesn't end quietly. It's not like, and Jesus quietly came into the world. That's not what happens. It ends with shepherds running and people praising God out loud. And that leads us to our Advent word for today, for this series is yada. Say yada. 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 Not yada yada. Yada. And that means to lift hands. It actually means to confess openly, to throw praise towards the Lord. Like you would do something about it. Like this love matters. Yada is love made visible. So remember where we've been. In week one, we talked about Shaka. It's what the Magi did is they bowed down. They surrendered. They submitted to at the feet of Jesus. They kneeled. They were willing to place themselves below, low and before God. And we learn that it begins by not, like submitting to God begins by not lifting ourselves up to his level, but by lowering ourselves. We worship and choose vulnerability at the feet of Jesus. His way be done. His will be done. You say the Our Father, you say, and your will be done in my life. And then we learned about Tauda and thanksgiving before the miracle happens. Thanksgiving in the trying times. It's rooted in trust, not in outcomes. And we learn to thank God for what he promised, even while we're still waiting. And last week, we talked about the word patak. Patak. Which means to open, to loosen, to make room. We opened our hearts and our schedules and our home. Hopefully some of you chose to do the spiritual inventory and you let Jesus do a little walkthrough. You're like, Lord, where am I holding you out here? I want you in every part of my life. Not just in all the cleaned up, tidy places. And this week, we come to Jesus with yada. When love is revealed, the only fitting response is surrendered praise. One of our sermon club folks made this comment, and our sermon team folks made this comment, and I was like, you know what, you're right. And we're talking about like, what is this Jesus? Let's talk about why Jesus? What are we doing here? Because, you know, I'm assuming we're all on this certain level of like who Jesus is and what he did and what he came to do. And many of you maybe have that information. But think about this. There's billions of people celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ across the world. Billions. They're celebrating his birth, but he's been gone physically for a bit, has he not? How many people are going to be celebrating Josh Gray's birth 1,000 years from now? I don't think anybody is, right? And so this is a big deal. Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. We've seen he's the chosen one. He's the one that's coming, and they're waiting for as we think about Advent. And guess what? He's still the one that's going to return that we are waiting for. There's over 300 prophecies about Jesus' birth, according to scholars. So what is it about this Prince of Peace, this wonderful counselor, that the world was waiting and anticipating his arrival for. First of all, he's visible. It's going to be a personal return. Jesus said, it says this in Acts 1:11, not on the slides, not on your notes. This is a bonus. We'll get to the sermon shortly. The same Jesus will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven, Acts 1:11. Jesus' return will not be hidden.
It's not a symbol.
It will be a physical and unmistakable return that we are all anticipating. It's not an idea or a feeling. It's a moment in history when heaven breaks into earth. That's the Jesus we're talking about. A glorious kingly arrival. They will see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We sing that. Matthew 24:30. On his robe and on his thigh, his name will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. The humility of the manger gives way to the authority of the throne. That's the Jesus we're talking about. That's what you're getting ready to celebrate the birth, to remember the birth of. There'll be the resurrection and renewal of all things. We talk about the renewing of all things. Jesus' return brings restoration, not escape. The dead in Christ are raised, 1 Thessalonians. Creation itself is renewed, Romans 8, 19-21. Heaven and earth are made new, Revelation 21:1. The Christian hope is not going to heaven, but heaven coming to earth. That's the Jesus we're talking about. Judgment that is just and true. Evil is confronted and justice is answered. Truth is revealed. He will judge the world with justice and the peoples with equality. Psalm 98:9. It will be a permanent dwelling with God. The return of Jesus fulfills gospel's deepest promise, God with us forever, Emmanuel. Now the dwelling of God is with humanity, Revelation 21:3. No temple, no distance, no loss, no death, no gnashing of teeth. Your absolute best day of your entire life is ahead of you. Jesus tells us what to expect. Be watchful, Matthew 24:42. Be faithful, Matthew 25:21. Be loving, John 13:35. And be hopeful, Titus 2:13. Expectation is, this isn't speculation. It's actually going to be the formation of what God has promised. That's the Jesus we're talking about, in case we've missed it. Are we cool? That's who we're anticipating the birth of. All right, let's dive in. Yada. The Hebrew word for yada literally means to lift hands, to throw or cast, to confess, to praise openly and visibly. That's kind of cool, because Jesus recruited a lot of fishermen, and guess what they were good at? Throwing and casting. But they threw and cast their hearts. They threw and cast their words into the kingdom of God. To confess, to praise openly and visibly. It's not quiet worship.
Jesus is not a secret.
It's not a hidden faith. This is an embodied devotion. Our friends at the Bible Project, they say, well, they're our friends. They don't know who I am, but they're our friends anyway. The Bible Project is a great place for you to go. Here's my Christmas gift for you. Go to thebibleproject.com and hang out there for the next 7 or 8 years, and I'll give you an honorary Bible Project degree. I'll write it on a piece of paper and everything. We can go to those guys, and it's awesome. They love the text. And so if you have not done that, BibleProject.com. But here's what they say about Yada. Yada is praise that engages the whole person. It engages your heart. It engages your voice and your body. It's thanksgiving that refuses to stay silent. Refuses to stay internal. Yada says this: God has been too good for me to stay silent. God has been too good for me to stay silent. Say it with me. God has been too good. Oh, come on. Give me the, do it. Watch out for your neighbor's head go. Too good. Okay. One more time. Too good for me to stay silent. All right. Now look at your neighbor. You two lovebirds, look at each other and say that. Say, hey, God has been too good for me to stay silent. Too good. Now, why does this matter now? Because we are in a world that is very expressive, are we not? It's very expressive. Sometimes not so much with your secret hidden faith in Jesus.
That's private between me and God.
But there are some faiths out there that are very expressive. Adam and I were studying in Turkey in 2022. I think it was 2022 we got to go. Sounds right. Don't quote me on that. And I remember us walking through, and we were in an area that was pretty Muslim. And we were walking either back from dinner or something, or from a dinner or going to a dinner. And it was like, this call to prayer. And all of a sudden, everybody that was Muslim gets down and they start praying. Like, were they in the right spot? Did they have everything? But like, they were not afraid about what we thought about them praying to their God. Think about the Mormon missionaries. They spend 2 years and they go express their faith. That's their job, is to express their faith for 2 years straight. That's what they're doing. But sometimes as Christians, we're like, I wouldn't want to offend you with Jesus. So you're going to have to go to hell. Like, offend me, please. Okay? It's so interesting in places we're not afraid to be expressive, right? So, for example, like the Seattle Seahawks, when they win a game, you know, you got the guys painted. We're the 12th man. Like, there was a measurement of an earthquake when some great thing happened at a Seattle game a couple years ago. Like, they felt it in Seattle. There was like an earthquake on the ground with all those people going nuts because they won a football game. Some of you, I've seen you at Cougar games, and there's something amazing happens. Here's what happens. The Cougars get a first down, and you get up, and you're like, and that's another Cougars first down! Woo! I'm not going to raise my hand in worship. I'm not going to raise my hand to God. But that's another Cougar first down! Ooh. How about this? Anybody ever go to a concert? Anybody ever like going to concerts? How about a Metallica concert? Any you guys go to a Metallica concert, you sinners? Take a look at these people that are pretty excited. They're pretty excited. Look at those guys. They're waving stuff in the air. Look at, there's hundreds of thousands of people so excited about this concert. But if I talk to somebody about Jesus, my boss might fire me. I hope you get fired for talking about Jesus. Praise God. We shout at sporting events. We shake the ground. People post passionately about politics and debate, but when it comes to God, we often stay reserved, controlled, contained. At your holiday celebrations, you talk to don't talk about Uncle Jim about politics because we're not on the same page. Don't talk about religion, for goodness sake. I mean, we're just celebrating Jesus' birth, but don't talk about that. Many people today believe privately and worship reluctantly. Yadah calls us out of that. It's a love that doesn't stay hidden. Okay, remember, how about you ladies in here when you got proposed to, if you're married? Wouldn't it be great? Your person was like, okay, I'm going to give you this ring, but let's not tell anybody about our love. Shh. Isn't that what you were dreaming for, ladies? Just a proposal, like he's kind of embarrassed about, like, you know, somebody might think he's weird because he proposed to you. You're like, be weird, dude. But when it comes to our faith, we're not that far away from that. We might wear a cross. It's underneath my shirt. Yadah calls us and invites us to move from internal to external, from silent to expressive, from guarded to surrendered. Because love, when it's real, is never invisible. It's not invisible. It shows up, it moves forward, it takes shape, it sacrifices, it's patient. How about this? Real love in your life leaves fingerprints. There's evidence of it in your life. I want you guys to think about real love in your life. I want you to think about your grandma, your grandpa, whoever it was in your life that you were like, that's real love. And their life, there's evidence of it upon me from how they loved, how they forgave, how they encouraged. And those fingerprints are on your life forever. You're changed. See, it changes what it touches, real love, your thoughts, your motives, and ultimately your actions. It doesn't stay hidden in intentions or just words. It steps out into the ordinary and says, here I am. You can feel it when somebody listens that way, when they forgive that way, when they care about you, when it'd be easier to leave and exit, but they don't. Love made flesh is always seen because it chooses to be. Let's dive into our text today. And if you're able, I would love for you to stand up. And we're going to read this text. We're going to start where we left off last week. So if you're able, stand up. Let's honor God's word with this text. It's our one big piece of text today. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And here's what it says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had just heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God's word, thank you for standing. Have a seat. Notice what happens when the shepherds encounter Jesus. Luke tells us that when the shepherds left Bethlehem, they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. The word praising is more than just polite gratitude. They weren't just like, that was cool. They were doing more than that. It's kind of the Hebrew idea of yada, to openly confess, to throw praise forward, to acknowledge God publicly without restraint. The shepherds didn't just feel thankful. Oh, that feels so good. They declared what they had seen. That's what Yadah always does. It takes what God revealed and puts it on your lips, and you express it with your body. Think about this: the shepherds. These men weren't theologians. They were shepherds. They didn't receive a sermon. They didn't understand incarnation or atonement. All they knew was that God kept his word, and he returned. He was there, that an angel was right, that the Messiah has come, and that was enough for them to move from silence to confession. They didn't return to their fields quietly and keep it to themselves. They returned telling a story, and an angel showed up, and he said to us, the Savior is born, and we saw him just as they said. That's Yada. It's not polished. It's not a performance of having everything figured out. It's just honest, vocal acknowledgement of God's faithfulness. Here's something awesome. The shepherds were the least likely people to be believed, yet God entrusted them with the first testimony of Jesus. Why is that? Why would God entrust them with the first testimony of who Jesus was? Because it's about obedience, and they are obedient. They were obedient to the revelation, and they were faithful to spread the message. They had encountered God's glory and couldn't shut up about it. It wasn't a hobby-level commitment for them. And once you and I have encountered God's glory, silence is no longer an option. That's why Yadah is often expressed with lifted hands, raised voices, and a bold confession. It's praise that says, I can't keep this to myself. I have to say something. God has been faithful, and I will tell his story. And Christmas reminds us that before there were sermons about Jesus, there were shepherds confessing Jesus. And maybe that's the invitation for us this season. Maybe that's our response. It's not just admiring the manger, but responding like the shepherds, to yada, to speak, to share, to invite someone to come and see, to openly acknowledge what God has done. You know what? If you're going to be here for Christmas, you should invite somebody to come and see. Invite them to be around God's people. Invite them to sing praises to God. Invite them to hear a great message about who God is and how we can praise him. Respond like the shepherds. Because when the glory of God breaks into our nights, the right response is praise that you can hold back. It's yada. Shepherds don't get stuck in analysis. They don't debate. They don't stay composed. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Hands lifted, voice raised, joy spilling out. Why? Because God's love had been revealed. The Savior had come. He kept his promise. Hope had a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And that revelation should demand a response. Worshiping God that way isn't just feeling something inside. It's visible, embodied, joyful, lifting up. And that's what Yada teaches. When the praises, they aren't just speaking, they're actually living out God's idea of worship. And I would challenge myself and challenge you guys. Josh, are you living out God's idea of worship? And long before the shepherds, Yada was in the built, was doing things. Psalm 63:4, I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. David acted like a fool for the Lord. But it was for the Lord. And he's no fool. Psalm 134:2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Why? Why did they do that? Because God's presence had arrived. And Christmas is the ultimate version of that moment. So when Jesus is revealed, the only response is to yada, to raise our hands, surrendered, praise and confess. And here's the cool thing about Advent. Advent doesn't end with information. It ends with adoration, to adore what God is doing. Advent gives truth, gives us the truth, it announcements, it prophesizes, it's angelic messages, it's fulfilled promises. We learn who Jesus is and where he was born and why he came, but the goal was never that we just simply walk around and we're more informed. Do you have enough information right now about Jesus? Heaven didn't break the silence just to update our theology. It did it to awaken our worship inside of each one of us. Every character in the Christmas story proves that. Mary doesn't write a paper. She magnifies the Lord. The shepherds don't debate doctrine. They glorify and praise God. The Magi don't analyze the star. They fall down and worship. See, information always moves towards the moment of the encounter, and revelation demands a response. And Jesus is being revealed here in Advent. It's God stepping into our world, not to just be studied from a distance, but to be adored up close to be worshiped. When the Word became flesh, the only fitting conclusion is to wonder and to worship. When God draws near, the proper posture is surrender. When grace arrives, worship is the natural language of our heart. See, the top of it for Advent isn't in the manger. It's when we're carried to our knees. Because real faith isn't just knowing about Jesus. It's beholding him. It's allowing him into all of those rooms of your life, those spiritual rooms. It's yada, to acknowledge, to respond, to give thanks with your whole life. Advent ends where it was always meant to end, not with answers, but with awe. And they were in awe of what they had heard. Think about little children reaching up to their father, looking at that thing, hey, daddy, daddy. Have you ever won like a championship or been part of a really good team that won something, that did something great? You won the state title. And when you won it, you were like, cool. Cool. That was so cool. We won, guys. You probably were like, yes! You probably raised your hands. You win a motorcycle race. You're just like, yeah. Cool. No, they put you on a pedestal. I've seen you on a pedestal. You were on a pedestal. I've seen you on a pedestal on Facebook. Yeah. They put you up and like, look at him. He did something great. Why would we not feel the same way about Jesus Christ? Yada is joy that just can't stay seated. Now let's talk about it as a community. What does it look like to yada within our community? It isn't just about personal preference. It's about who are we becoming together. A worshiping church is a surrendered church. An expressive church is a healing church. A praising church is a hopeful church. Here we are, Lord, send us to Lewiston. Okay, we're going to go. A healing church, when brokenness comes in the realm of where Jesus is, people get healed. As we are a praising church, we have hope, we have a future. No matter who you are or what you've gone through, the very best day of your life is still to come, amen? Your best day is in front of you. But I'm getting older and I'm like, no, your best day is in front of you. There will be no more weeping, no more gnashing of teeth. So as a community, we don't grow by like trying to worship harder. We grow by yada-ing deeper, by loving God deeper, by being expressive about doing that, but by having as much love that like lifts our hands. I want us to move the needle of how our church worships. Like, this is the fast side, just in case you know. Like, it's okay. It's okay to worship God passionately. In your car, you act like a fool like me when I'm walking around my neighborhood. I'm listening to my music and I'm like, he never fails. No, he don't. He never fails. My neighbors are like, this guy's a freak. Correct. He never fails. I didn't even know I was yada-ing really. I was on the treadmill this week, and I got into some worship song, and it was too bad for the rest of the gym. I'm on treadmill. Yeah, my God's pretty awesome. See, not being afraid to share what God is doing in your life. So let me give you some practical tools so you can yada better, okay? I want you to yada better, practice yada-ing. So first of all, practice hands up prayer daily. So when you're in your car, just let go of the wheel. Let Jesus, no. Let Jesus take the wheel. No, you got to use your knee. That's what I do. No, but like, as you're praying, God, lift your hands up. Try it. Try it this week. When you pray to God, try it. Lift your hands up and be like, Lord, This is Moscow Josh Gray here. Just wanted to, I'm right here, talk to you. Like, try lifting your hands. Say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to be closer to you. If you're up there, I'm going to be closer. All right? Speak praises out loud. Don't just think them in your head. You know who talks to you the most? You do. Don't just think it, say it. That's something that's so powerful about our worship music is we're all singing and saying those things together. You are faithful. God, you are faithful. We love you. God, you are near. You are good. God, you are too good for me to stay silent. Participate in worship on your own. Participate physically and with your beautiful voice. But in our community, participate in worship. Don't be a spectator of your love for God. Don't be a spectator of your love for God. If you're like, I barely do anything, move 1% for me. How about celebrate one answered prayer publicly? Sitting around for Christmas this on Wednesday or Thursday, sitting with your family, be like, hey, I want you guys to be thinking about this. What's a prayer that God's answered? What's something you've been praying for that God's answered? I had a gal come up to me in our gym. It was awesome. And she came up to me and I was working out. I was beautifully sweaty. Gross. She came up to the gym and she was wanting to talk to me. She goes to our church. And so I was like, okay, I'll take out my AirPod. And she's like, you'll not believe it. There was that huge windstorm we had? I have 100 trees all around my place where I live. And there was trees crashing everywhere. And not one of those trees hit my house. And not one of those trees, not even a limb hit my yard. There were limbs impaled in my side yard. And there's a mess here. If anybody needs firewood, here's my address. There's trees everywhere. But God protected me. Now, some of you are like, why didn't God protect me? I lost my tree, my house. No. But like, she was praising God. She could not tell me how amazing God was. Praise the Lord with your mouth. Declare his miracles in your life that you've seen. Yada is letting something go out of us into the world. What is our response to God's love? Advent began with us bowing low, and it moved to us having a thankful heart and trusting him to open our hearts, to let God do a little inventory, and now it's here with hands lifted high. Jesus didn't come quietly. He didn't love cautiously. He didn't save us halfway. So we should not respond halfway either. So this Christmas, don't just celebrate Jesus, surrender to him. Don't just celebrate him, but praise him. Don't just celebrate, but confess that he is Lord and lift your hands to him because he has come. Join me in prayer. Jesus, we bow low before you. We thank you for your promise. All your promises that you are a God who never ever fails. We open our heart to your presence. Your full access. Every part of us, Lord. No doors are closed. Lord, we ask that you would receive the praise that we're about to give to you. We ask that you'd receive our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take this opportunity to accept this awesome gift that Jesus has given us. If you're new to our church, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming and checking us out. We celebrate communion every week. So if you didn't grab one, but you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand and Ron or Doug will be more than happy to bring you one. And if you come back next time we are at our service, grab one on your way in. And we want to come to the table. We want to understand that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that season is every second, every moment, every hour of our life, not just Christmas. And we want to come to him. We want to remember what he has done. We want to remember his faithfulness, his power, his glory, that he is the wonderful counselor. He is the King of Kings. He is the everlasting Father. And so we come to him with that. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took this bread. And we had given thanks. He broke it and he said, this is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take this communion in remembrance of our Lord. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. And Lord, we proclaim it and we anticipate your return. Father in heaven, thanks again for this time. My brothers and sisters, thank you for what you've already done in this room. Thank you for the lives that you're changing, Lord. Thank you for giving us information, but also letting it transform us, letting us move in our hearts. And so I ask that your hand be on every person here. Lord, if they're traveling, you'd protect them. If they're here, Lord, that their conversations with their family would flourish about your glory and your presence, and that we would yada. We're not embarrassed of you. We're not embarrassed to sing praises to you. Lord, we don't want to keep you a secret. We want the world to know who you are and what you've done and your power. Help us to do that. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.